Hey listeners, I'm Lauren Cole.
And I'm Kendall Smith.
You're listening to Ducks Discuss, hosted by the University of Oregon English Department.
Each episode, we'll discuss prose, poems, analysis, theory, and research going on in the world of literature.
We're often joined by a guest. Sometimes it's a professor.
Sometimes it's a student.
Either way, we're exploring the power of the written word.
If you're a U Oregon student interested in discussing literary topics, you've come to the right place.
All right, Kendall, let's dive in.
Anyways, welcome to Ducks Discuss, episode 3. It is Kendall and
Lauren.
And we're here today with Kelly to talk about some fun things regarding the English department.
Yes, hi.
Can you believe it? Hi.
It's great to be here.
So what grade level are you in?
I'm a senior.
Okay, wow.
So exciting. And yes. I heard you just got a job.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So where are you working?
I work at a law firm in Portland right now. It's a patent and trademark firm.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot of things. All different realms of expertise that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
That is cool.
And is that what you want to do after school as well?
Yes. So after I graduate, I'll transition to full-time work, and then I'll take a couple of gap years, and then hopefully head to law school after that. So
that's so exciting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Big plans.
Yeah.
Well, with that career path, what like sparked your interest in English, and like did you always want to pursue that? I mean, obviously you're pursuing law now, but what made you interested?
Yeah, well, I think English and law coincide so beautifully. I always loved writing and reading, especially when I was younger. And I actually entered college with majoring in political science.
Oh, okay.
And after, I think it was right before the pandemic started in 2020, I switched to English just on a whim.
Yeah.
I wasn't really getting much out of the political science courses that I was taking. It's a great faculty and great department, but it just wasn't really for me.
Yeah.
And then I went into English and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And I just met so many people, and it just felt like where I was supposed to belong, really.
Yes.
So it's been great.
That's perfect.
Yeah, but I love studying rhetoric and just like the evolution of language, really, which is perfect for law.
Yeah.
So I'm really getting a lot out of being here for like my personal use, such as like just indulging in stuff that I wouldn't normally be able to, along with using it for professional objectives as well.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. I had a question and it just flew out of my head, so I don't remember. But another exciting thing, I heard you are submitting to the Undergraduate Research Symposium.
Yes.
You've been doing research.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that's been like?
Of course.
What are you researching?
Yeah. So I'm a part of the Humanities Undergraduate Research Fellowship, which has been amazing. I've loved it. 16-week fellowship that started in January, where I've been utilizing working with Carl Reisner, who's like the head of the HERF program.
That's a great last name.
Isn't it? It's awesome. I wish it was mine.
Really describes what he does.
Perfect. Yeah. And I've been working with my faculty mentor, who's also the faculty advisor for my thesis project, which is on, it's basically a critique of legal reasonability and how it's used in criminal cases.
Wow. You sound so smart.
I'm like blown away right now.
It's basically on the history of the reasonable person standard, which is used in civil and criminal cases to assess culpability in certain circumstances.
Is it kind of like an insane defense? Forgive me, I don't
know
that.
No,
all I do
okay.
is listen to true crime podcasts, and I think I know things, but
I don't. It can be used in assessing someone's
sanity.
Yeah, temperament and whatnot.
Interesting.
So I'm using that and kind of analyzing a certain self-defense theory called the gay panic defense, if you ever heard of it. Used internationally and in the United States, where someone can claim extreme emotional disturbance onset by someone's like perceived sexuality,
Wow.
So it can reduce a murder charge from murder to manslaughter if they claimed that they killed someone out of extreme emotional disturbance.
Oh my god.
The world is so weird.
I know. For the people that can't see our faces, our jaws are on the floor.
Yeah, so
wow.
it's very discriminatory, and
yeah.
it's rooted in a lot of outdated practices in psychiatry that's just not in practice anymore, but it is in the law, and it's been ingrained so deeply in there. So my thesis project is really centered around that and how reasonability is used in those cases, and how that functions really. So it's partially narrating stories of queer exclusion in Oregon specifically, and also the broader context of reasonability in the legal system.
That's such important work.
Oh,
yeah.
that's
really
so amazing.
Cool.
It crosses
yeah.
so many lines of education.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that just like the thought of how people all reason differently has always been an interest of mine. So this has been really powerful to learn about, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We should have played a game where you see if we're reasonable or not. That would have been great.
You'd be well qualified.
Yeah.
This is really fascinating because I just had the opportunity to interview one of the Oregon's alumni, English, Jill Conbray. I don't know if you know her, but she did English to law, and she's working at a law firm now, and she was talking about the way that, like, a lot of law practice is creating, like, narratives and breaking down how those narratives are created, so that's all, like, rhetoric and analyzing in that way, which I had never really drawn the connection between, but this is so cool because that's doing basically the same thing.
Yes, I love it so much.
Wow.
It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love analyzing how narratives are broken down in court cases, exactly like Jill, you said?
Yeah,
is doing. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I love learning about all the new ways English can be applied. Usually I'm like teacher, author.
And that's what everyone thinks at first. There's such a stigma behind
English. It's
such
a follow-up question of, oh, you're majoring in English? What do you want to
teach?
You want to be broke?
Yeah,
but I don't think people realize that English can be used for so many different things.
Yeah.
It's not just in the professional world or and whatnot.
It's such a part of life
world.
In general.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah. Do you mind me asking, who's your thesis advisor?
Yeah, so it's Dr. Cortez.
Okay,
yes.
Very
awesome.
Fun.
Yes, I love him. He's fantastic, and he's been so crucial and critical to my development as a researcher and just an English student in general. I'm taking, this is my third class with him this quarter, the third class I am taking with him. So, it's been great. He's an amazing professor, and he just blows my mind every time I'm in the same classroom as him.
He probably has a very good lens of law that. Yeah,
he does.
Mm-hmm. He's very knowledgeable about that. We kind of talked a little bit about HERF.
For those that don't know what it is, would you mind just talking about, like, what was it like to apply, or like, what does it kind of look like structurally to be the recipient of that?
Yeah, so I applied for the HERF program back in November of 2021. And it's basically an experience where you can receive a stipend and be a part of this fellowship with a lot of brilliant students and aims to further your research, get funded for that, and also have the opportunity to present at a research symposium at the end of the year, which is going to be on May 26th, I believe.
So exciting.
Yeah,
everyone should go support
Kelly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe a shameless plug for Dr. Upton, but we heard from him that you are in his 21st century poetry class. How does that fit in with your work, or how have you liked it so far, really?
Oh, it's so cool. He's such a knowledgeable person.
Yeah.
And he's such a personable professor, too.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time that I interacted with him was when I was considering switching to English from political science. And I met with him, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's so nice. He's just such a lovely person. So being in this class with him is amazing. It's a seminar class, so there's under 10 people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very intimate, and it's really cool to be in that space with people in be able to share ideas and not feel intimidated by the size of a larger class.
Definitely.
And really get to know people one-on-one. And the poems and authors he has chosen for this course have been really amazing. Reading from like Ada Limon, I believe her name is, and Dinesh Smith, and so people of color, who I think is great to acknowledge and really read from the, another lens that we don't really get a lot of in the English department.
Changing the canon.
Yes, exactly.
I've noticed a lot of professors here have that focus.
Oh, it's great.
It's very refreshing.
It is.
Especially coming from like high school.
And it's just like Shakespeare and Chaucer.
You're reading this.
Do you have a specific poem or poet that you've got to study in the class?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the one I just mentioned, Ada Limon, she's great. And I love the way that she uses her words too. I don't know. It's just so beautiful. And then when you read it out loud, it's just like, it can be very, very harrowing, really. And it, I don't know. It just creates a mental image in your head that you're like,
So that can be homework for everyone listening.
Yes,
you can go look it up.
That is a 400 level class,
yes.
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel going into that? Had you taken any before? I know there's a lot of myths that me personally, I hold them where I'm a little intimidated by 400 level classes.
Yeah.
How has it been for you, do you think?
Yeah, it's been an adjustment because I definitely, before taking 400 level classes, I was really nervous about taking them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with that, there's a lot of autonomy and individualized work that you can do in that class that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. I found it to be a lot more liberating to be classes like these, such as like seminar classes or just regular size classes that are just, I don't know, you work with the professor as kind of more of a peer rather than a professor. Obviously, they are a professor, but they treat you more as a peer.
Not so much authority lording. Yeah,
exactly.
Not that other professors do that. Just
good clarification, Kendall. Good save.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah,
that's good to hear for students like me who are like,
gosh, you should just do it, honestly. It's really rewarding, and I think you gain a lot of confidence in doing so because you realize that the things that you say, the opinions you hold, and what you write really matters, and you can work very hard on your writing and really grow as a student and a writer in general. So do it.
That's a good pep talk.
So inspired.
Fine, I'll become a lawyer.
Yeah, do it.
I've just decided.
Anyone can do it.
Okay, we've come to the fun section.
Yay.
So a few little games that our lovely Kendall has come up with. Number one, if you could have dinner with one poet, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's such a good question.
I'm starting with a really tricky one.
Really hard one. Do you write poetry yourself? Like, do you enjoy that?
I used to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it as much anymore. I think I overanalyze a lot, but that's the thing about poetry is you just need to write. But, oh my gosh, maybe Langston Hughes?
Ooh.
Yeah, that was one of the first poets I read when I was in sixth grade, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe him.
Do you have one, Kendall?
That I would have dinner with?
Yeah.
I just want to know how Edgar Allan Poe died.
Ooh.
I want
you'd
him
be like,
to tell me.
Come over for dinner.
Let's talk about fun things also. Your murder.
How'd that go down?
Yeah, I remember learning about him in elementary school, and they would be like, every Friday the 13th, like someone puts a white rose on his grave, and immediately I was like, yeah, I like this guy.
That is cool.
I think I would pick good old Edgar.
I think I'm going to go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I might pick William Blake.
Ooh,
just,
I like that.
Just because, you know, he was always having those, like, visions, and he thought, like, angels are talking to him. So I'd want to, like,
see what's up.
I'd want to know.
And you, Kelly, could see if he was a reasonable person.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Probably. I think I could learn a lot from him.
Yeah.
And maybe he'd draw me a picture. So, you know, big pros there.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
I thought you were going to go Dickinson or something.
I know. I do love... that was my second choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's such a cryptic, strange lady. I love her. I think she might be too intense for me, though.
Yeah, it would be a stressful dinner.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'd be intimidated by her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would cook at Edgar Allan Poe. Like, potato soup or something? I feel like that's fitting.
He probably would. He'd probably have, like, a dead fish, like,
yeah,
on the plate.
You
not
just
even
put
cooked.
One
yeah.
rose on his plate. One right rose.
You'd be like, yes, in fact. in an attempt to find a game that was a little more appropriate for a school podcast.
Podcast friendly.
Yeah, yeah. we thought of Elect Mary Blackmail with three poets.
With three poets?
Yes.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to choose out of, you get the
Well,
idea.
Let's do it with our poets.
Oh, that's,
we already
oh,
have
that's
three.
Good. That's
let's
good.
Do Langston Hughes, William Blake, Edgar Allan Poe,
mm-hmm.
Elect Mary Blackmail.
Okay, I would for sure blackmail Edgar Allan Poe. I have to. I would marry Emily Dickinson.
Mm-hmm, fair enough.
And I would elect Langston Hughes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a solid answer.
Yeah.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah.
That would go well.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar would freak out.
He would. That's why I would blackmail
yeah.
him.
Yeah. I bet you could get a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
out of him. All fun and games, of course.
Yeah. Okay, how
for
about
the record.
Sylvia Plath?
Ooh.
T.S. Eliot? What's not?
Lord Byron.
Lord Byron.
Okay, all right.
A challenge.
I definitely blackmail Lord Byron.
Yeah, we hate Lord
I think
Byron.
He's... sorry to everyone who loves him. I think he's probably weak enough that I could, you know, really get some good stuff there.
Yeah.
And he probably has access to a lot of fun stuff. He's like the party person of
yeah.
the 18th century.
Yeah. Lots of nefarious drugs.
So I would not want to elect him or marry him.
Okay, yeah.
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 Okay, what are the other two? T.S. Eliot?
And Sylvia.
And Sylvia. That's tricky.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because I would marry Sylvia, but she'd probably
be
gone.
Fast.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
R.I.P. Sylvia. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I just don't know if she'd be happy in office.
I don't
no.
think she
oh
would
my gosh,
either.
No. Definitely not.
I don't
guess
know
I'm gonna have to marry her. Try to bring some joy to her life.
You
and
can
I'll,
turn things around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could save her.
Yeah. You could be the one.
Uh huh.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think we've really worked out some blackmail schemes for
mm-hmm.
the future.
With a future
and
lawyer.
Yeah.
This is all alleged.
I've learned a lot. Yeah. Allegedly. Well, thank you for talking with us today.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Been so fun.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I love this idea.
Yeah, and congrats on your impending graduation
oh,
and your
yes.
new job.
Thank
it's
you.
Very exciting.
That's
so many fun things.
Yeah.
Well, it's been lovely to meet you. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Ducks Discuss with Kendall and Lauren. Make sure to look for future episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And if you're interested in getting involved, reach out to our email, engl@cas.uoregon.edu, or look for more information on our website.
See you next time.